can't believe I'm still doing this. What's it now? 6 decades worth. I started making demos when I was 14. I do it because I can't stop, you know. The heart has to love, Garfunkel has to sing. It's gonna work. April, come and she will. When streams are alive and we swell away, in my arms again. June should change her tune. Restless walks she'll prowl the night. July she will. I have been writing these little prose poems to myself. I didn't know who I was writing to. I was just bit in the ass by inspiration. And I had to stop my day and follow this 8-hour arc of rhyme and rhythm and polishing and erasing. Now I finally got a literary agent, shopped them around, and got a good response. So the Alfred Knopf, fine, prestigious publishing company. I heard that, wow. That's what I thought. They're the best. So they'll put out a book of mine by next autumn. It'll have these prose poems. It'll have autobiography. It's a hybrid. I don't know what you call it. So I'm going to try and risk boring you tonight with some of them. Try this. It's 3 takes on the fame trip. Somewhere past the middle of the 1960s, I took a room at the Hampshire House. I remember the carpet, cherry vermilion. A balcony looked up the axis of Central Park, dead center, 25th floor. I was new to fame and to room service. It must have been spring. I smelled it at the terrace, standing there in my underwear, toes in the rug, drinking freshly squeezed, equidistant from Central Park West, 5th Avenue, the world was mine. I was a rock. Looking north, the air was kissed. I was the arrivist. First hit, Sound of Silence, global number 1 record. What a thrill, kid from Queens. More chart success. Real marriage have brought me here to my family while I fight for my voice to return. 44 years have passed. They still like my friend and me. Guess who? Our old friends show our scarcity have made us perhaps the hottest tour on earth. Perhaps that's a little pompous. I should change that. No, but you know, I think we could outdraw the Stones if we would get together. The world awaits for 2 1-inch chords, vocal chords, to mend and return to symmetry. The pinnacle of purpose prepared for me. Yesterday, my 5-year-old son went to his classmate's birthday party. The magician, Domino, did his show. The act was lame. My boy said, I saw the penny drop and gave the trick away. The mom who booked him felt cheated. Moments of ta-da fell flat with the kids 3 times in a row. Poor Domino. I am Domino. I wasn't always this way. I was once a lovely curly-headed lad, all smooth around the neck. Now I must be an old American entertainer with a phony British accent. But the heart is still young, and the voice seems to have come back. I'm just a poor boy, and my story says. Still a man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest. When I left my home and my family, I was no more than a boy in the company strangers in the quiet of the railway station running scared. Looking for the places where they were now. La 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 la. Asking only workmen's wages, I come looking for a job, but you know. I do declare there were times when I was so lonesome, I took some comfort there. Ooh la 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 la. Now the years are rolling by me, they are rocking evenly, and I am older than I once was. And I'm laying out my winter clothes, wishing I was gone, going home, where the New York City winters aren't leading me, to going home. In the clearing stands a boxer and a fighter by his train, and he carries the reminders of every glove that laid him down or cut him till he cried out in his anger and his shame. wrote this about 10 years ago because I love pretty things. I dare to be a man who loves pretty things. But here's Perfect Moment. I think it has a pretty melody. Family, you know, like every family, we have our good days and bad days. Here's one of the good days. My wife is Catherine, and this is about my younger of two boys named Beau, B-E-A-U. He was one when I wrote this. We have a 3-foot diameter plastic globe that sits on the floor of our bedroom. The countries are colored, the oceans aqua. These days we keep it unlit for little Beau's safety's sake. Now through the east window comes the morning sun. The bedroom is radiant with joy. The Brandenburg 4 is medium loud. Little Beau swooshes before me, pushing the globe out the door. Little feet pumping strong, he rolls the world along the tiles to the kitchen. It bangs into furniture. The denting is global. I know I should take it away. But Beau and the Globe are a two-character play to me. The things they do reverberate. See Beau imitate his family of singers while he puts his mouth into the opening of the North Pole. His one-year-old stretch gets him up and over and down and in, calling his tenor note across the Earth's interior. Now there's a big welt across the English Midlands. A round depression at Odessa and part of Poland is chipped away. I know I must save the world from Beau, but my discipline is undone by the sweet conceit. One night I find myself embracing my Catherine and allowing myself to be embraced by the beauty of my life today. Our hearts swell together. Out from our feet, little Beau rolls the globe away.
Piano player, Pedro Kane.
okay, let me give you one about the vulnerability of this job. The voice went south in 2010. I don't know why. It could be I did a tour, an arena tour with Paulie back in the Far East the year before. And you sing real loud when you're with a large band. And I came home, and a month later, I lost it. For a year, I became this guy who doesn't sing. I don't know how to be that guy. So you invent your own mending process. And when I was halfway there, I began to realize you just got to kick yourself onto stage. Even though you're halfway there, take the fear, give up the perfectionism, trust that they're going to love you if you make a sincere attempt. So. In Great Neck, New York, outside where I live in Manhattan, I did a show. Oh, this is all vulnerability. Dig. Finishing the picture nicely is only for neatness freaks. Reaching for the pith of the thing, P-I-T-H, is one's true occupation. And so the soul emerges, more hidden than the heart. So undefined, the soul. I was on a stage last night in the common age we live in. The theater crowd was rested. I was asked to hold the start time. The Earl had not yet come. This is politics. At 8 minutes after, I felt for the audience and I came on. Now he strides down quickly to his first row seat in the center aisle. Not you, sir. I bring to the night a life of singing, a damaged voice, an artist's reputation, a public display of recovery. The Earl is a town council leader, important, all manly. These kind of guys always make me feel skinny. So I open with a reading, something I wrote a while ago. I always made peace with the fiercest of lions, because I could sing in the cage. Now I lost rapport and stand before one on the stage. The rude lion reaches for blood. Fear stands beside my tremulous voice, annealed in the fire of uncertain exposure. Fancy talk. The man we held the show up for is a modern man. He sits 9 feet before me, and in my second song, he begins to text. I am thrown by the rules of today. Do cell phone talkers imagine a curtain surrounds them? Am I to disappear? I know you know what I mean. Am I to disappear in the backdrop of the texting life? So I muster up good nature and peer from the lip of the stage into the texter's lap at his handheld thing. I could have written his little handheld thing, but I thought that would be a cheap joke. Hillary, I could have brought up your family, but I didn't want to go there. I smile, but it's pistols at sunrise. I carry on singing, but I can only think of him and the next techno spear randomly hurled from the dark. This job is exposed, it's vulnerable. The singing falters severely. Scarborough Fair is leaden. The theater people understand. They are called to witness the pith of my profession. Now, suddenly, around the sixth song, I stop the show. And I say to him, how did you imagine I wouldn't be completely thrown by seeing you texting right before me? Confrontation. Because you're a pro, he shoots back. Oh, man, and I'm just trying to get my voice back. The speed of his projected retort tells me he's a politician. I need a rest, I say, and I walk off the stage. I sit in the dressing room, does the soul define itself? The last train is nearly due. The underground is closing soon. And in the dark, deserted station, restless in anticipation, a man waits in the shadows. His restless eyes leap and scratch at all that they can touch or catch. Hidden deep within his pocket, safe within his silent socket, he holds a colored gray. Stony womb, the carriage rides to meet the groom and opens wide and welcome doors, but he hesitates, then withdraws deeper in the shadow. And the train has gone suddenly, on wheels clicking silently, like a gently tapping attorney. Scarborough Fair is actually about. I think it's about loss, and for me, it's about Lori Bird. Thank you. My pleasure. I can't help but do this. I feel it tonight. Scarborough Fair, recorded in 1967, is now almost a half of a century ago. I used to think a century was a long time. But for me, it's just over my right shoulder. It's that Tuesday night that Paul was laying down that flowing guitar part. Pretty much like this guitar part from this great player, my friend. Nashville's great, Todd Newman. So you do these records in layers. They're overdubs. On the Tuesday, you put the guitar down in Studio A of Columbia Records in New York, and you put down a Paul and Arthur harmony part, my great delight. The next night, you decide to double your voice, which means you put a unison on top of your vocals. Now you have four Paul and Arties. And you add a harpsichord part, pretty much like Dave's. Not quite as good as Dave's. And I sat back and I said to Paul, this is my favorite of everything we've done. It flows so organically. On the next night, the third finishing night, I say to Paul, let me write a counter melody. It'll weave its way between the lines of Scarborough, and we chop up that early song of yours, the one we never recorded, because it has a military lyric and it'll give some bite to the Scarborough flow. And so I'll give you the song now, and you may recognize some of the military lyrics. It's an anti-war song. We used to do a lot of these in the old days. I don't know what was the matter with us. Your side of a hill. On the side of a hill in a land called somewhere, a little boy lies asleep in the earth. I was home about. Oh, to me in shades of idiocrity. I can't hear some harmony. I need someone to comfort me. And we talk and laugh on the phone from time to time. And I want to get to a bit. It's waiting for me on that table. When we did Carnal Knowledge together, it's a film about two guys seen at three stages in their lives with women. And I'm in with Candace Bergen as a college student, and Jack he steals her. In the middle stage, which I get to now, the director, the great Mike Nichols, who died last year, I miss him so. He has Jack coming into the apartment where he's living with Anne Margaret, and she's in bed. And she's always in bed. He can't stand it. The scene is all about a temper tantrum. I think he breaks his shoelace and it flips him over the top. He can't stand it. She's always in bed. Men get deranged at a certain point. So it's a temper tantrum scene. And I'm in the scene, I have no lines. We have now been buds for 15 years in the film. I'm on the phone to the hospital calling for an ambulance, and Margaret is slipping into a coma. And Jack thinks it's a ploy. And I'm watching him act magnificently. I'm just a doctor friend. So he climbs his emotions and he gets into a pitch of madness. And the director finally says, "Cut. Jack, you got another take in you?" And instantly Jack collects his actor's composure and comes way down, goes out into the hallway to make another entrance into the apartment and go through the same climb again. And they cut the scene and Jack, you got a third take in you? Jack gives him a third take and a fourth take, and I'm just astounded. At night, we're sharing a place, and we did the film in Vancouver. Jack, I say, how do you do this? Arthur, I just love to act. I just love to sing. I can't help it. So I wrote this. The great ones are the ones who mix and match, blending contradictories. Take Jack, for example. We all know his spectacular vernacular. I worked with him on camera in a dorm room, a bedroom, a man cave. I know the exquisite artist. I was in the room when he went to 10 on the scale of temper, take after take after take. Amidst the interior strain of sheer brilliance, he joked with a grip on the scaffold above us. fellow workers tilting lights in an industry town, Jack straddled these realities and rubbed his loves together. In the broad dissonance, Atlas held it up and scratched an itch. Mix it, Jack. If you're a crooner like me and you start singing when you're five, you fall in love with Harold Arlen's tunes and Richard Rodgers and Irving Berlin. You can't help it. So I did one of these CDs a few years ago with Richard Perry. It's my last album, Some Enchanted Evening. So I'll give you a Gershwin tune now. There's a somebody I'm longing to see. I hope that she turns out to be someone who watch over me. I'm a little man who's lost in the world. I know I could always be good to one who watch over me. Although I may not be the man some girls think of as handsome, but to her songwriters. Stephen Sondheim of Broadway fame, Paul Simon, of course, Jimmy Webb, whose tunes I go to on all my albums. Jimmy's fabulous. He's been writing another book. My vote for next president of the United States, James Taylor. Yeah. Oh, how we need one. And here's the fifth guy. I'll do one of his tunes now. I never met him, but I picture him sitting at the piano wearing his actor's hat, and he writes political songs, and then he writes bitter songs, and then he's just outright funny and sarcastic. Who writes a sarcastic song? This guy. Here's one of the few tender songs from the great Randy Newman. She's a real emotional girl. She wears her heart on her sleeve. Every little thing you tell her, she'll believe. She really will. She even cries. I've heard her many times before. I never had a girl who loves me half as much as this girl loves me. She's a real emotional girl. She's very, very careful. She's a real emotional girl. She lives down deep inside herself. Ago, and it made me think everything they are is what they give you. They're all gifts that they offer just by being themselves. They're role models. Authorship is a man who loves his papa. That's great. Authorship may be trumpeted. It may be declared. It may be declined. Suddenly in my iPod in the Suffolk Station Underground in London is Enrico Caruso. It's a tape I made. He sings an aria from The Pearl Fishers. Recorded at the dawn of vinyl records, it reached me in our living room in 1946. Heartbreaking, glorious, tenor, vocal performance infected me when I was 5. What was it doing around our house? Who authored the gift? It wasn't my mother who brought the Victrola into our home. Whose was the heart that cried with Caruso and set me on a lifelong course that led to Bridge Over Troubled Water? I pretend I didn't know you very well, dear father, yet 25 years after your passing, here in the London Tube, how close you are to me, like the double helix of DNA. How we entwine. It was you who showed me the dive from the ledge, the breast of the bird, the vaulting line. Your beautiful musical soul is the author of mine.
And felt you warm in me.
creatures all my life. It started with humans in 51. People heard the bird in my throat, and I was so happy to make the sound. Word of mouth was meager, but I heard the gift, and I went with it. Married in the synagogue to Echo and the Minor Key, I sang ancient melodies in the Main Street Temple in Queens. Vimale, Mishasenen, Permita, Tova, Permita, Tova, Yeshua, Merachami. Old men in the pews, and they would tear up. And I was doing this, and I thought, I must have a calling for this. I'm going to stick with it. These things happen through you, and you just you stand aghast. Many years later, I sang for cows. This is my theme. I have sung for creatures. As I walked the country, I've now walked the entire United States. And now I've walked Europe. I started in Ireland and I finished in Istanbul. You needn't applaud an eccentric man. I'm just a New Yorker who needs some horizon and sky just to be real. So you come to Vermont or you walk across the country. I fell in love with Vermont when I started having hit records and I was thinking of buying a house out of the city. As I walked the country, there were the cows on a hill looking at me. So I sang to them, and they gathered around. I give them the old vibrato. The sound is sincere, and the love of connection is deep. Interspecies communication. I belt out a beautiful old man river, because the lyric is so heavy. I get weary and sick of trying to the cows. I'm tired of living. Many eyes widen. One creature is crying. I'm afraid of dying. Is it a kind of dream floating out on the tide, following the river of death downstream? Or is it a dream? There's a fog along the horizon, a strange glow in the sky. Nobody seems to know where you go, and what does it mean? Oh, is it a dream? Bright eyes burning like fire, bright eyes, how can you close and fail? Is it a kind of shadow reaching into the night, wandering over the hills unseen? And I see these old men out on the street at 6. They're walking their dogs. And I think, there's so many dogs in New York. What's this about? I know they love their wives, but that's more complex. They love their dogs, and it's so pure and simple. They attend to their needs. The heart has to love. You're my puppies. back in my college days, just before fame bit me, we would go, Paul and I would go to Europe, and we'd fancy ourselves fancy expatriate Americans, and we'd bop around Paris and London, and we'd sing in the street to make a buck, and Kathy would collect the money in her sailor cap, and we made a threesome. We went all over the continent. It's such great nostalgia to remember these. It's such beautiful memories to think of the beautiful Kathy. Thank you, Paul, for writing this baby. I hear the dreams of the rain like a memory. From the shelter of my mind, through the window of my eyes, I gaze beyond the breezy streets to England where my heart lies. My mind's distracted and diffused. My thoughts are many miles away. They lie with you when you're asleep and kiss you when you start your day. And a song I was writing is left undone. Songs I can't believe, with words that tear and strain a rhyme. And so you see, I have come to doubt all that held as true. I stand alone without beliefs. The only truth I know is you. And as I watch the drops of rain of you go by. See how you gals mean everything to us guys. Here's when you're a singer, you have two forms of expression. You could be in the recording studio, which has been tough for me lately. I don't know how works anymore. I don't like the notion of streaming music or streaming life. I like cherishing, slowing down and listening. But then there's stage performing, and this is why I'm here. This is a thrill, it's a connection. So the various venues I've played, from the Sydney Opera House to Carnegie Hall, where we just played this last winter. The greatest of all the venues is in London, if you know the Royal Albert Hall. What a great room. It's a 6,000-seater, it has 7 tiers. What I remember most is the stage is enormous. It scoops way out into the front row. They call them the stalls. And if you have a calling for this work, you just delight in coming to the lip of the stage and you own every cubic foot of air in the room. It's such a thrill. You're not up there with God quite, but you're way off the ground. You're in some zone. So I had a 3-show booking at the Albert Hall some years ago. I sat in Hyde Park, and I wrote this one that's a little different, it's more structured. Sounds like Donald Trump. Soon I will rise onto the mesa, play on the tableland under the lights, 3 nights at the Royal Albert Hall. All my aspiration, all aspire, the morning sky on the high plateau of fire. Enter the pop warrior, held in thrall to 7 tiers. Hello darkness for 49 years. Be beautiful, be a man, do what no one can, stand for genetic union. My papa, my mama, be mild in a battle blaze. Go out on the field of praise to the apron, till every stall. Tomorrow, it's over. Tonight is all. You won't let me leave town if I don't have a go at Bridge Over Trouble. We're not going to let you leave town anyway. But I warn you, it's a work in progress. I can't give you the big grandiose finish. But I'll give you... now we're in a rehearsal. The show is over. This is a workshop. So here's 2/3 of it. Have held me up and charmed my entire life. Thank you deeply. Comes and then it's all. have this lucky gift in your throat, you soon start thinking about the giver. And you get very spiritual about this lucky gift. And I have carried this connection all my life. That's why you hear these goosebumps in this quasi-religious style, in my style. It's just an amazing thing. So I want to give thanks before the night is over. I did a tour with Paul last when we were in the Far East. We played arenas. And I thought, how many songs did we do? How many people did we play for? Now that it's over, 922 songs have been done before 688,000 fans to show we can do it. All the world's a stage, a play. We intuit. I tender my love to the Lord Almighty for letting the notes divinely spun come alive each night, preponderate, allowing me to be the conduit. Mm.